Morning Air continues now on Relevant Radio. We'll look at Sunday's Gospel reading. Joining us is Bishop Daniel Muggenberg from the Archdiocese of Seattle. Bishop Muggenberg, great to have you along today.
Great to be here, Glenn.
Tough words from our Lord in Luke 12, 49 through 53. We're talking fire and division and kind of scary stuff.
Well, and it's especially scary stuff because so oftentimes we expect that becoming a person of faith will bring peace to our lives and harmony. And sometimes it's very disheartening and even questioning when a person begins to experience turmoil as a result of their faithful adherence to God's will. And that's what Jesus is speaking about in this passage.
And our Lord speaks a little bit to the disciples here, following what was said in the gospel we studied for last week, too, in terms of preparing them for not an easy road as a disciple.
Yes, last week, you know, Jesus told us how important it is to not only know the Master's will, but be willing to do the Master's will. And so after giving that tremendous encouragement through those three different images or parables last week, now Jesus is telling us that when we are radically committed to doing God's will and following the Lord as a disciple, that we need to be prepared for some of the resistance and for some of the surprising negative experiences we can have as a result of that. In this week's gospel reading, you know, Jesus uses an important image to speak about the dynamic of faith, and it's the image of fire. He says, "I've come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already ablaze." You know, we might even look at our own lives this week and think about how that experience of faith is like a fire that purifies us of sin, that sanctifies us through the Holy Spirit, that God can use to help shape our lives. And yet, the closer God calls us to himself, and the more we respond to that call, the more those around us who aren't responding to that call are going to be disturbed by it. And so that's what the Lord wants to prepare us for.
As you speak of fire in your written reflection, Bishop Muggenberg, talking about the image of fire is one that's destructive, also one that's purifying, as well as one that represents the kind of dynamic life of the Spirit.
Yes, and all of those images of fire are so central to our Lord's image. You know, even at the beginning of the Gospels, when John the Baptist was baptizing, John told the crowds that one mightier than he was coming after him who would baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. And indeed, Jesus will pour out the Holy Spirit, and he will animate the fire of faith within us. That same fire of faith that burned in the hearts of the prophets that Jeremiah spoke about even, when he said, you know, whenever I try to remain silent, the word of God burns within me and won't let me be silent. And whenever I speak, people don't want to hear what I have to say. So that fire is a great image for the dynamic of faith within each of us.
You know, and I think it was an evangelist of some sort who mentioned, you know, he wanted to be on fire. If you set something, if you just talk to people, that's one thing. It might not get much response. But if someone is on fire, people will come to watch.
That is true. They'll come to watch, and hopefully they get close enough to actually be caught up in that wonderful dynamic of grace-filled fire of the Holy Spirit.
Just wondering, as far as interpretation of the meaning of the gospel, we take it more toward the fire of the Spirit, ultimately, and kind of good news. But were there times where, you know, people thought this was Christ kind of channeling Old Testament God who, you know, didn't mind shooting down a little fire and brimstone?
They may have understood it that way. However, Jesus does not use the image of fire in a negative way only. Certainly, it can be perceived like that. But whenever fire is a purifying element in our lives, that's always a grace-filled element, you know. And it's only when we can rest comfortably and confidently in God's love that we can actually desire for the purification of the purifying fire of God's mercy to cleanse us of our sin and from our attachment to sin. And that's a fire that is not about destruction, but a fire that is about purification. And I think that's a very important distinction.
Studying Sunday's Gospel with Bishop Daniel Muggenberg out of Luke 12, 49 through 53. Today, the second half of that reading deals more with division and even a household divided. And, you know, we've seen that with disagreements over faith. And we are told this is to be expected. And that makes it kind of a rough road.
It is true. I was graced to spend many years in seminary formation, and it was not unusual to listen to seminary applicants or new seminarians speak about how their decision to follow Jesus really caused disharmony, even within their families sometimes, as others were opposed to their radical commitment of their lives and their radical response to the Lord. And so we can experience that kind of painful division on a variety of levels. It isn't just with those who don't have faith in Christ, but even those who do have faith in Christ maybe aren't always excited about a radical witness to Jesus, especially when that comes from those closest to them.
I was a little saddened and surprised to hear in talking with different vocations directors that not infrequently the parents are, you know, the parties in a particular future seminarian's life that are most strongly against that choice.
That's very true. And sometimes we have parents who will refuse to allow their children to do that, you know, while they are paying even their college tuition or whatever it is. But we have to pray for that openness to not only desire God's will, but to desire others to respond to God's will. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus, one quick comment about this gospel passage that I think that we have to focus on for the Sunday, and that is where Jesus says, do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? We need to remember that our understanding of peace is based on a superficial lack of tension, lack of distress, absence of violence, in other words. But Jesus brings about a peace that we can only experience from our deeply rooted communion with God. And that's a peace that we experience in the Holy Spirit, but through the gift of faith. A person who is connected to Jesus will experience the abiding peace of his presence in their lives, even when that adherence brings about those moments of division. And it's that abiding peace of Christ that's born out of communion with Jesus that allows people to adhere to and follow through on radical decisions of discipleship when it means the disapproval of others or the rejection of others or even the persecution by others. That's the peace that Jesus wants us to have. And that's the peace that he can offer us, not a superficial harmony that's going to bring about wonderful, wonderful rapport in all of our existing relationships.
And kind of analogous to that deep-seated joy that we can have in the Lord, different from moment-to-moment happiness.
Yeah, moment-to-moment happiness is ephemeral at best, and it also actually becomes very addictive. You know, we will sacrifice some of our most important commitments if a person is only living for momentary happiness. You know, that's where we actually give other people power over us, when we are willing to appease them and to do what they want for the sake of keeping the peace. And if that's the case, then a person will not be able to be a disciple, because ultimately their other relationships will determine their decisions rather than their fundamental relationship with Jesus Christ.
A hard passage in Luke 12, 49 through 53, but what would be our kind of positive takeaway from this?
I think the positive takeaway from this is that the communion that Jesus offers us is the only communion that can ever satisfy us, not just in this life, but in eternal life. It is the communion that is enduring, and it's the communion that we can put our trust in. And that as Christians, we should all be desiring that communion, not only for ourselves, but for all others. And if we are truly desiring communion with Christ as our greatest value and our greatest hope and pursuit, then we will encourage others to seek communion with Christ, even when it occurs in ways in which we may not have hoped for. But we will ultimately desire that God's will be done in their lives and not our will. And if that is our common aspiration, then we will find peace and harmony because we will all be focused on Jesus together.
Amen to that. Another great reflection on Sunday's Gospel. Bishop Muggenberger, if you'd be so kind as to wrap us up this week with your blessing.
The Lord be with you. And may the blessing of Almighty God, who sends us His Holy Spirit to draw us into the life and communion of love of the Blessed Trinity, sustain us in all of our moments of life and guide our decisions despite whatever opposition or resistance we face. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Bishop Daniel Muggenberger from the Archdiocese of Seattle, Your Excellency, thank you. Joining us every Friday morning at this time with a look ahead to Sunday's readings here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And did you know that Relevant Radio accepts donations of unwanted vehicles? Maybe you have them. Well, you can donate them to Relevant Radio. It's very easy. It's free. It helps keep Relevant Radio rolling. You can get more information by calling this number, 888-906-9069, 888-906-9069.